Welcome to Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference, or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. Welcome to Ordinary Fellowship. Merry Christmas. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me is Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy.
His titles have been stripped from him. He has been misbehaving behind the scenes.
I know, just been a naughty elf.
Yeah, he's probably thinking horrible thoughts about all the people that are lined up to go see Spider-Man today.
Hey, everybody can use their time however they feel like it.
Yeah, I bet that's what you're thinking. You're probably thinking they're a bunch of nerds.
To each their own.
Yeah, he's being quiet because it's public. Anyway, we're here today to talk about Christmas. I was just telling our pastor that for about the past 8 years, a new theme has developed. I go to work, and people that know that I go to church every Sunday, they know that I'm a Christian, ask me, do you celebrate Christmas? And I get it all the time. This isn't just once in a while. It's all the time, as if there's an expectation that I don't celebrate Christmas because I'm a Christian. That's kind of weird, I think, since Christmas or Christianity and Christmas kind of go together. At least that's most people's thinking, I think. But there are a few reasons. There are actually two reasons why. Some Christians don't celebrate Christmas, and we want to talk about those ideas today. The first one is especially important. Some people reject celebrating Christmas. Some Christians reject celebrating Christmas because of its pagan origins. And I say that in air quotes or scare quotes, whatever the appropriate word is now. Because I don't believe that it was ripped off from the pagans. But we're actually going to talk about it from the perspective of that, first of all, it wasn't ripped off by pagans, so go ahead and celebrate. And then we'll talk about, even if it is a ripoff of pagans, how should we respond to it? So we talked about this last year a little bit in our Christmas episode then. One of the main arguments that to say that it's a ripoff of pagans is that the Romans apparently had some kind of festival around the same time as we celebrate Christmas, i.e. December 25th. And so the idea is that December 25th was chosen because we were ripping off the pagan festival that was celebrated at the time. Now, I'm not going to go too in-depth into this because we talked about it last year, and also because we'll share websites that have deeper information. So if you want to go deeper in understanding this, there's help. And if you want to, and we'll give you two levels, one really deep and one just a summary. Kevin DeYoung does a great job on the Gospel Coalition blog site discussing why Christmas isn't a pagan ripoff. Christians chose December 25th not because of an association with any pagan celebration, but because they believed that that's when Jesus was born. The basic idea is, now, and I think the idea is wrong, but this was their, it wasn't paganism that influenced it, it was this wrong idea. The idea was that prophets and important people died on the day that they were conceived. So according to this idea, Jesus died on the cross on the same date, although 30 years prior when he was conceived, or 33 years prior when he was conceived. Did I say that right, Matthew?
You did.
Okay. So if you do the math, it works out that if Jesus died on March 25th, that he was, then if that means he was conceived on March 25th, 30 to 33 years prior to that. And so then his birthday would be December 25th. That was their reasoning. Their reasoning, I think, is flawed. But it isn't, oh, the pagans are celebrating this. We need to stop that by coming up with our own celebration. And here it is. So it's, I don't believe that Christmas is, the origin of Christmas is pagan. Now, there may be some traditions that have come into it through the years that have come from pagan ideas, but Christmas in of itself, the idea of celebrating Christ's incarnation one time a year on December 25th, that idea did not come from pagans. That came from Christians thinking through. They had a belief about when prophets die and when they were born and those kind of things, and that's how they came to that conclusion. Now, I also talked about last year that there's also evidence that Christ may have been born on December 20th, historical evidence that Christ died or was born on December 25th or through January 6th, somewhere through that time period, which happens to coincide with the 12 days of Christmas from the song. But this comes from the idea that 6 months before Jesus was conceived, an angel met John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, in the temple when he was performing his priestly duties. Apparently, we have the records of when Zacharias would have been performing his priestly duties, and the records show that it was would have been 6 months before December, June. So if you go by the dates there, that would mean Jesus would have been born in the realm of December 25th to January 6th, somewhere in that time frame. So there's some possibilities here that there's good reasons why Jesus' birth was celebrated then. And truthfully, it ultimately doesn't matter what day his actual birth was. It's a day set aside to remember and reflect on a season now of reflection on Christ's incarnation, God coming to dwell with us to save us. That's what the whole time is about. It really ultimately is irrelevant what exactly day Jesus was born on. It's more about that he was born, that he did come. So if somebody found conclusively that Jesus was born on March 3rd, then we wouldn't have to change our Christmas celebration because of that historical discovery. So I don't believe, to sum it all up, I don't believe it's pagan because it wasn't even chosen for pagan reasons. And there is some historical evidence that hints at the possibility that Jesus was born. And ultimately, it doesn't matter what day he was born. The purpose of the celebration is to celebrate his incarnation. So any additions or subtractions or rebukes needed, Matthew?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a good summary of why historically it's a faulty argument to just assume that Christians sought to take a pagan holiday and make it religious, which we'll talk about more in a couple minutes. Yeah. But
although they did do some of that.
Right, they did do some of that, but which we'll talk about the rationale for it in a second. I do think that there's enough evidence to demonstrate that that's not likely to occur. And right. So, yeah, I think that what the explanation you gave makes much as much sense as anything else anybody else comes up with trying to tie it to Saturnalia or whatever else they want to try to tie it to.
Yeah, and we have an article that actually deals with primary sources that it's not typical internet conspiracy theory stuff, okay? For example, the internet conspiracy stuff, we'll talk about, I can't remember the chapter, but in Jeremiah, supposedly there's a talk about people. The passage in Jeremiah is talking about idolatry, and it happens to be about a tree that they're cutting down and decorating. They're cutting it and making it into a gold or silver idol, and some people have twisted that into being the Christmas tree. But Jeremiah predated Christ like 700 something years. Christ wasn't even born yet. Christmas celebrations didn't begin until the second century at least. So, 800, 900 years before, supposedly Jeremiah is talking about a Christmas tree that didn't become popular until, I think it was from Germany, and that's where it was popularized. And somehow that is a condemnation of something that's going to happen 1,000 years later. I think that's a big stretch. So if you're reading something on the internet that's talking about that, just throw it in the trash and don't send it to your friends or share it on Facebook. It's garbage.
Yeah.
And we know it is from the start.
Yeah. It's just the really troubling part is, unfortunately, I know Christians who actually believe that. So,
yeah,
there's a word for that. It's called bad hermeneutics. Or as you always said in previous episodes, we think they had some bad chicken. But, you know.
It was bad Mexican food the night before.
Something like that.
Because they're messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a source for all this. There's a book called The Two Babylons.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the whole theory, but it's. Two Babylons is basically the Christian conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes Roman Catholicism to be an antichrist religion, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's not to endorse Rome, but it's to say there's other reasons to pick on Rome than the stupid Two Babylon theories.
Correct.
A very historically flawed book, theologically as well.
If, as we believe, that you cannot look at Christmas as a pagan holiday, let's play make-believe. And let's make-believe that it actually is, that Christians took a pagan holiday named Saturnalia, and they decided to Christianize it and make this thing called Christmas. So, Jeremy, why is it still okay for us to celebrate Christmas, even if this theory is actually true?
Because I said so.
Well, that works for me, but other people might want some more explanation.
It works for you?
Sure.
All I got to do is claim...
On this particular topic.
Okay. It doesn't even work for my kids to say that.
Well, you know, they're your kids.
Yeah. So. Anyway. Right. Well, so even if let's go to make-believe land, like with Mr. Rogers and his little trolley car, and pretend that Christmas really does have pagan origins, I still say... worship Christ anyway, because the reality is it has been stripped of all the pagan meaning that was behind it, so that essentially has become a secular holiday. So, and when I say secular, I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just not loaded with pagan language anymore. So it's more become a tradition, American tradition, that you give gifts and you sing Christmas songs and you go to church on Christmas. Those, while that's not the Christian faith, what the heck is wrong with giving people gifts and singing songs and going to church? I mean, really, we could, there are worse things that could happen. That could become traditions, like, you know, drag queen story hour or something. This one's okay. So even if it is pagan, it's been stripped of all the pagan meaning anyway. You're not really associating with paganism anymore. There's no reason that you have to avoid it. Now, obviously, if you have pagan friends and they invite you to their winter solstice celebration and they're doing things involving their pagan beliefs, you probably don't want to go to that or be a part of that kind of thing. But if it's what we do now, where it's just stripped of all the original meat, if it is pagan, it's been stripped of all its original meaning and means something totally different. Now, I can't for the life of me see why we can't do it. And frankly, this is my approach with Halloween. Even if it is pagan, we don't go trick-or-treating to appease the dead or to get rid of the evil spirits or anything like that. It's the meaning, if Halloween is pagan, and I don't think it ultimately is, it's been stripped of its meaning, and it doesn't mean what it meant to the pagans. So go to a bonfire and hang out with your friends. You're not worshiping the Celtic gods by doing that. And the same thing with Christmas. You're not worshiping the pagan German gods by putting up a Christmas tree in your house and putting presents under it and gathering around it and reading the Bible and Christ talking about Christ's birth together. I cannot see how that really is dishonoring to God in any way. But, you know, the thing about it is that when it comes to these things, there's freedom. Romans 14 talks about whether you celebrate days or whether you don't celebrate days, we're to do it all to the glory of God. So if you decide because your conscience won't allow you to celebrate Christmas, then don't celebrate Christmas to the glory of God. Now, that sounds weird, but you know what I mean. If you're not celebrating, celebrate to the glory of God. Ignore Christmas. Glorify God. That's fine. And if you do celebrate Christmas, glorify God in. And that to me is the best. If it is pagan, I think that's the way to handle it. Now, one of the articles we're sharing, he offers this interesting quote about, he actually, I think, believes that Christmas did have pagan origins, but he still says it's okay to celebrate Christmas. And this is how he ends his blog post. To retreat from celebrating Christ for fear of the pagan is, well, fear of the pagan. And it would seem that our brethren that would excise from our calendar anything that smacks of paganism are only replacing what they consider superstition with one of their own. And to that I say, amen.
Correct.
So, do you have anything to add before I summarize, or you can summarize?
Well, I was just going to say that if you make the determination that we can't celebrate anything with pagan origins, then you better get a new calendar and you better start naming your days different things.
Yeah. I mean, this comes up in Easter because supposedly the word Easter is of pagan origin. And I told one of my friends one time, well, because he wants to call it Resurrection Sunday, which is fine. The problem with it is that Sunday is named after the sun god.
Right.
So if we're going to go that route, then you can't call it Resurrection Sunday either. You would have to call it Resurrection of the Lord Day.
Right. I think ultimately what I think this is twofold. One, from a Christian perspective, it's people who, again, have bad hermeneutics and they want to go to, like, use 1 Thessalonians 5, abstain from all appearance of evil, and that means we can't have anything to do with it, which is, again, bad hermeneutics, which we've talked about before and we'll probably talk about again. And, or if you're not a believer, you want to, the culture seeks to secularize everything and remove any religious connotation out of the society to demonstrate that, therefore, we're not, have, we don't come from a Judeo-Christian. There's none of that background at all inside the culture, which is ostensibly crazy, but that's what they want to do. And so you have these two outside competing forces trying to take something that was good and right, which is ultimately remembering Christ's birth, and trying to ascribe to it some other meaning so they can affect and fix their worldview so they don't have to interact with facts that they don't like.
Yeah. I say celebrate Christmas anyway, even if it is pagan.
Correct.
Because, and the other thing I would add to what you said is that I think we also have to consider that there are well-meaning Christians who have watched stupid videos on YouTube.
Right.
And don't have the knowledge historically or theologically to work through some of these issues. So there may be people like that.
Right, I think that's valid.
Who just don't understand or don't know. So, I mean, my automatic reaction is to say it's stupid. But to be gracious, because we got to love our neighbor, there really are people. I mean, I spent hours at work talking to a Christian at work about this stuff because she felt like she couldn't celebrate Christmas and was appalled at the idea that I did. And it's because she's read some things on the internet and watched some YouTube videos that led her to, this is the Christian position. And so I spent many hours at work discussing this with somebody. Right. Got to be sensitive to people who run into stupid stuff online.
Right.
So they're not stupid.
No.
But
there's plenty of
garbage you're watching.
There's plenty
on
of stupid
YouTube
stuff online. Yeah.
One other thing before we talk about the final issue. One of the reasons this is important to me is because there's a push to say that. Christianity is nothing but paganism remixed. So the reason why I'm so concerned about these issues, especially in regards to the holidays, is because that gives into that narrative, that myth. Usually people who believe this believe that there was never a historical figure called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They believe that he himself was a myth and that he never existed, and that the ideas, Christianity just took these pagan beliefs and mixed them all together and came up with a Christian version of paganism. And this idea that these holidays are pagan ripoffs plays right into that narrative. So what I'm saying is this undermines Christianity.
Right.
So even if you don't celebrate Christmas, and there's reasons other than what we said, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that people don't celebrate Christmas. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, it should be important to say that even though I disagree with others and why they're celebrating this, this is a Christian holiday because it comes from a false narrative that's being promoted by some. And the Jesus mythicism is not very many scholarly people, even secular atheist people who don't believe the Bible, many of them don't fall into that. It's a new idea that's being promoted. And this narrative of the holidays being pagan holidays falls right into that. Really, this is one issue. We're talking about the fact of whether Christian is pagan or not. And my answer and Matthew's answer is it's not pagan, but even if it is, it doesn't mean we can't celebrate it. we can still celebrate Christ's birth on this day, involve ourselves in the traditions that have come through through history, and enjoy the time, fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ and your family, and go to church a couple extra times, and worship Christ and enjoy the time. Don't be a Ebenezer Scrooge or a Grinch.
This is true. Grinch and Scrooge are bad.
Scrooge ended up
okay. Well, Scrooge ended up okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just be Scrooge like he was after the spirits came to visit him.
Right, not before.
Yeah. Anyway, so the last idea, there, we've talked before about the regulative principle of worship, and I subscribe to it, and I think Matthew's still on the fence, somewhat. So there are some people who understand the regulative principle in a way that keeps them from celebrating Christmas, okay? And just as a reminder, the regulative principle is that the idea that we can only do in our worship what has been prescribed in the scriptures, so that we can't, this is why we don't have dramas and some of the other things, the laser lights and smoke and all the things that many have in their church today. In other words, the Bible teaches us how God wants to be worshiped, and we have to worship him in that way and in no other way. Any other way, any other invention of man, even if it's well-intended, is out of bounds when it comes to the regulative principle. Now, the problem is there are things that are fundamental to worship, and then there are things that aren't essential to worship. So whether you sit in pews or more comfortable chairs isn't a matter of regulative worship. It doesn't matter whether the pulpit is in the middle or to the side, like our Presbyterian brothers have it and our Lutheran brothers have it. It's irrelevant to the regulative principle. The regulative principle doesn't tell you whether you can light candles in church or things like that. The regulative principle, what it does is that it says there are things that you must do in worship. Namely, you have to pray, you have to preach and sing, read God's word, you have to do baptisms and the Lord's Supper and sing praise to God. All of these things are commanded. And we're not to add other elements of worship, okay? I'm afraid to say anything because then we might get hate mail, but I guess maybe that'd be okay. What do they call that when people, it's like Baptist dance, but we don't call it that because Baptists don't dance. Interpretive movement.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, there's no command for interpretive movement. We don't do that. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. So, but in my mind, and I have a broader understanding of the regulative principle than some, I don't see how reflecting on Christ's incarnation is a violation of the regulative principle. If you come to our church on Christmas Eve or on Sunday morning after Christmas, there's not going to be much different at our church than any other Sunday, except our pastor's probably going to be speaking about something related to the birth of Christ. And our songs are going to be related to the birth of Christ. So it's just, we're one time a year, for a couple weeks, we're focusing on the incarnation of the Son of God. One time a year, we focus on the Reformation. One time a year, we focus on the work of missions. Is there any other thing that we do? Easter. One time a year, we focus on the resurrection of Christ. I have a hard time seeing how that is somehow in conflict with the regulative principle. There's a lot more I could say about this, but I think I'll leave it at that. So, I reject the idea that the regulative principle forbids us from celebrating Christ's incarnation. I don't think there's a problem with that. So, celebrate Christmas.
That would be a good
Merry Christmas.
That would be a good plan. So, as we close what Jeremy just said, celebrate Christmas, have a Merry Christmas, so that we might all proclaim the glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Just as a reminder, we will not have a podcast next week. The next episode will be on January the 3rd. So we look forward to seeing you again at the start of the new year. We thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, you can find it on our website at www.tworiverscc.org. We look forward to your questions, comments, and even that dreaded hate mail at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship and like, subscribe, and rate this podcast on whatever service you listen to us on. But for now, we thank you again for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, where we're striving to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.